Welcome back, everybody. Another deep dive, ready and waiting. It's October 9th, 2024, and AI is, well, it's everywhere, right?
Definitely feeling that energy.
So we're digging into the good stuff,
right?
Like actual research, not just hype. Industry shakeups, always interesting. Oh, and we'll tap into what has the AI folks freaking out on Twitter, you know, for science.
Should be a fun one.
Our mission, always, is to go beyond the headlines. What does it all actually mean? What's the real impact?
The so what, right?
Exactly. And speaking of impact, Nobel Prize, anyone.
Can't start a deep dive without that, can we? Big congrats to the team at Google DeepMind. Cracking protein folding with AI, that's huge.
I got to be honest, when I first saw that, I was like, okay, that's science we.
Yeah.
But what does it do?
You and everyone else, not elbow deep in algorithms, probably.
Right.
But this is huge, seriously. Imagine medicine, but totally different. Finding new drugs faster, understanding diseases in ways we couldn't before. We're even talking about making proteins with specific jobs designed from scratch.
Whoa, okay, now that's the future stuff I signed up for.
Oh, and Google AI, they're not slowing down. They've got this new language model, TXLLM, using this protein breakthrough to figure out how drugs will work, like before we even make them, could speed up the whole process massively.
From Nobel Prize to practical use, that was fast.
That's AI for you.
It's not just the tech, though, right? The people behind it are fascinating.
Yeah.
One of the lead researchers on this, Demis Hassabis, used to be a chess prodigy as a kid.
Yeah.
Then went and made video games. Who knew those skills would translate to, like, revolutionizing medicine?
It's wild, right? You never know where the next big breakthrough is going to come from. This combination of AI and biology, though, that's definitely the sweet spot right now.
But with great power comes, you know, the power struggles.
Always a catch.
OpenAI and Microsoft, things are getting... Interesting.
Definitely a dynamic to watch. Microsoft's money and cloud stuff, that's what rocketed OpenAI to the top, let's be real. And OpenAI, with ChatGPT and all that, they've given Microsoft some serious street cred. But...
There's always a but.
OpenAI, they want more independence, more control. The information had this report, right? And apparently OpenAI's CFO, they're worried Microsoft can't keep up with them. Their projects are massive, need insane amounts of computing power, and it's like Microsoft's lagging behind.
So OpenAI is just going to go solo?
Kind of. They're securing their own data center setup, talking about leasing an entire data center in Texas, even working on their own AI chips, which if they pull it off...
That's a power move right there.
No kidding. Less reliance on Microsoft, more control over their destiny. It's a sign of things to come, I think. As AI gets bigger, needs more resources, companies are going to fight for that control.
Makes you think, in this whole race for AI dominance, who gets to decide what gets created? We've got AI writing, making art, even videos now.
Mm-hmm.
Our artist is going to get left behind.
Legitimate concern, no doubt. It's a tightrope walk, this tech. But hey, not all doom and gloom. Adobe just dropped something interesting. Adobe Content Authenticity, they're calling it.
Okay, so Adobe Content Authenticity. This is supposed to, what, save the artists?
It's a start, for sure. Think of it like those nutrition labels on food, but for art.
So I can see if my AI-generated image is high in pixels.
Not quite, but you get the idea. Artists can basically embed info directly into their work, like who made it, when, all that, even if they're okay with it being used for AI training.
Fancy. But how's that going to stop someone from just, you know, ripping it off anyway?
Ah, that's where the tech gets cool. We're talking digital fingerprinting, watermarks you can't even see, even like cryptographic stuff. It's about making it way harder to steal credit, basically.
So let's say I'm a digital Da Vinci. I paint a masterpiece, but in the metaverse this time.
Love it. Go on.
I use this Adobe thing. Now what?
Yeah.
Some art thief tries to pass it off as their own.
Exactly. That info's baked in, could be used to prove ownership, maybe even track where it's been used online.
All right, that's slick. Mm-hmm. But like any good tech tool.
Yeah.
Got to get people to actually use it, right?
100%. Adobe's on the right track, but artists need to get on board. Tech companies need to make it work with their platforms. It's a group effort.
Fingers crossed it catches on then. This whole AI and art thing, it's going to be interesting, that's for sure.
To say the least. But it's not just the big names like Adobe making waves. Smaller companies, even open source projects, they're doing amazing things.
Right. It's not all about who has the most servers, right?
Exactly. Take Kling AI, for example. They've been killing it in AI video. And their latest release is wild. Gives you so much control over the little, well, digital puppets is the best way to put it.
Ooh, okay. I'm listening.
So you're making a video, right? But it's all AI generated. This tool lets you pick out specific things, a car, a bird, whatever, and animate them separately.
So like a super powered puppet show, but digital.
Basically. Think about the possibilities for film, animation. It's huge.
That's a whole lot of power for one tool.
And it's becoming more common. Open source AI projects are blowing up, and that means this tech is getting into more hands. Developers are collaborating, experimenting. It's awesome.
Open source, gotta love it. Mm-hmm. Like democratizing creativity.
Right. Leveling the playing field. Speaking of which, have you seen what Weizhou Robotics is doing?
Can't say I have. Fill me in.
They're a Chinese startup, and they just dropped this open source platform for building humanoid robots.
Hold up. Humanoid robots, like full-on C-3PO stuff.
Pretty much. Think of it like a toolkit for making robots that move and act like humans. And it's open source, so anyone can use it, contribute to it.
That's kind of scary, but also really, really cool.
That's AI in a nutshell, right? And it's not just the hardware. The software is getting wild, too. This tool, Cog Video X Control Net, it's a mouthful, I know, but...
Hit me with it.
You can make short videos from still images.
Like bringing a photo to life?
Yep. You give it a picture, it does the magic, makes it move, adds stuff.
Okay, that's just cool. See, AI does have some redeeming qualities. What about Meta? They always have something cooking.
Always. They updated their Meta Movie Gen tool. Now you can add audio to the AR videos you make.
So no more silent films, finally.
Right. Music, sound effects, the whole shebang. It's about to get a lot more interesting.
So between digital puppets and talking AI videos, creativity's having a moment, huh?
For sure. But we gotta acknowledge the flip side. All this power, it comes with responsibility. We talked about artists, their work being used. But there's the whole issue of AI-generated stuff being used for, well, bad stuff.
Yeah, the fake videos are getting really good. Hard to tell what's real anymore.
Exactly. That's the world we're living in now.
And it's only getting wilder.
Yeah.
It's a wild world, that's for sure. And getting wilder by the day, it seems like.
No doubt. And that's why we got to keep talking about this stuff. The more aware we are, the better we can handle it.
Totally. Okay, but on a lighter note, for now at least, this whole AI race, who's winning?
The million-dollar question, right? In the world of AI, it all comes down to one thing. Computing power. It's like the fuel that keeps the AI engine running.
Makes sense. The more complex these models get, the more juice they need.
Exactly. And not all computing power is created equal. We're talking about massive data centers, specialized chips. It's a whole arms race, really.
Speaking of arms races, Epoch AI put together this chart breaks down the AI computing capacity of some of the biggest players. And it's kind of shocking, honestly.
It's eye-opening, for sure. Really shows you who's leading the pack and who's playing catch-up.
Let's break it down for the folks at home, yeah. So at the very top, way out in front, we got Google. No surprise there. They've been investing heavily in AI for a while now. They've got these custom-designed chips, TPUs they're calling them. Super powerful stuff.
Think of it like this. If training an AI model was a race, Google would be driving a frickin' rocket ship.
That's one way to put it. No wonder they're able to create these incredibly sophisticated AI models. Now, right behind Google, we've got Microsoft, which, as we mentioned earlier, includes OpenAI's computing power. They're relying heavily on NVIDIA GPUs, which are like the industry standard for this kind of thing. But there's a bit more uncertainty surrounding their capacity, which is interesting.
It makes sense, given what we were just talking about with OpenAI trying to become more independent. They're in this weird in-between phase, still relying on Microsoft's infrastructure while simultaneously trying to build their own.
Yeah, it's like trying to swap out your engine while you're still driving down the highway at 100 miles per hour. Risky moves, but hey, fortune favors the bold, right? Okay, so we've got Google, Microsoft. Who else is in the running?
A bit further down, we've got Meta, formerly known as Facebook, remember them, and Amazon. Both solid contenders, definitely putting in the effort, but they're playing catch up at the moment.
Still, don't count them out. Meta's got their metaverse ambitions, and Amazon, well, they've got their fingers in practically every pie imaginable. They've got the resources, that's for sure. And then, at the very end of the chart, there's this category just simply labeled Other, which honestly is kind of the most intriguing part of the whole thing.
Right, because it represents the combined computing power of, well, everyone else. Smaller companies, research institutions, even individual developers working out of their garages. It's a reminder that AI innovation isn't limited to Silicon Valley giants.
It's like the indie music scene of AI.
Yeah.
All this raw talent bubbling up from unexpected places. Mm. And who knows, maybe one of these smaller players will be the next Google or OpenAI.
Yeah.
The future's not written yet, right?
Exactly. And that's what makes this whole thing so exciting. It's not just about the tech. It's about the people, the ideas, and the potential for things to change so rapidly.
So much potential.
Yeah.
And so much to think about. It can be a little overwhelming, to be honest.
Totally. But that's why we do these deep dives, right? Break it all down, make sense of it together.
Exactly. And as we wrap up today, I think it's worth asking, where do you fit into all of this? Are you excited about the possibilities of AI or a little apprehensive? What role do you want to play in shaping this future?
Such a good question. Because it's not a spectator sport, is it? It's going to take all of us, developers, artists, policymakers, everyone, to navigate this new world responsibly.
Couldn't have said it better myself. It's been quite a journey today, folks. From Nobel Prizes to digital puppets, from the race for computing power to the ethical questions that keep us up at night, the AI world is complex, it's fascinating, and it's changing faster than we can keep up.
But that's the beauty of it, isn't it? Always something new to explore, to learn, to debate.
For sure. And who knows what we'll be talking about in our next deep dive. Maybe sentient robots who can write their own podcast scripts.
Hey, as long as they give us credit, I'm all for it.
Right. Until next time, everybody, keep those minds curious and stay tuned.